1-800-926-7474 and at chicoautomotive.com. Affordable Automotive is also looking for technicians to join their team. Call Mike Button at 892-1774 for more details. And hey, if you enjoy this program, you can now go to kzfr.org and tip this show.
Hello, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Ken Logan, the bumbling Ken Logan. Stay tuned, please, for the Doctor's Inn.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle, and you're losing the fight. To the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Went to the doctor.
Hello, this is Ken Logan, Dr. Ken Logan, and this show is called The Doctor's Inn. And just so you'll know, The Doctor's Inn is a one-hour radio show the third Thursday of each month, so 1 hour per month, the third Thursday from 6 to 7 in the evening. And what I'd like to do is discuss health and medical issues that I think are important for us to all be on the same page about. That's pretty much what I do. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico. I've been doing this family practice work for, let's say around 35 to 37 years, something like that. I'm semi-retired now, but that gives me a little time to do things like this radio show. If you happen to have issues or subjects that you would like me to cover on the show, health or medical related, I invite you to email me about that. Tell me just a little bit who you are and what you're interested in, and that you would indeed like me to cover that on The Doctor's Inn, and I'll see what I can do. I'd love to do that. Here's my email address. klogan.md@yahoo.com. That's klogan.md@yahoo.com. And by the way, the opinions voiced on this program don't necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. They're my opinions. Now, let's talk about underwriters. First of all, The Doctor's Inn is made possible by you, the generous contributors, listeners and generous contributors that you are, I hope, to KZFR, and by underwriters such as today's Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or to have your event listed, visit friendsoftheart.net. Actually, to be honest with you, I don't know if it's friendsoftheart.net or .com, or not exactly sure. But try both if you don't get it right off the bat. And by Tres Hombres, celebrating over 30 years in downtown Chico. Tres Hombres has patio seating and offers Latin dishes made fresh from scratch and award-winning margaritas. serving lunch and dinner from noon till 8 p.m. on Wednesday and Thursday, till 10 on Friday and Saturday, and 9 p.m. On Sunday. To-go orders and curbside pickup also available. Visit Trace Ombre's Facebook page for details and updates. So, again, this is Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner, and you're listening to The Doctor's Inn, kind of an informational show. And on today's The Doctor's Inn, when I was putting some ideas together, what kind of jumped out at me was something that, first of all, something that I feel I just have to talk about. It's necessary, it's important, and I just have to update us all, and that's about COVID virus. I think it's important, so important, that we try to all be on the same page, especially with all the misinformation out there in this world. So, and with vaccine issues coming up, including the booster issue and children issue, I'd love to have you listen to my words, at least my words, from the research I did on COVID virus. That's what I'll start out with. Next, I'm going to go into something that I've talked about before, but it felt important for me to talk about it again and be encouraging and empowering, and that is self-care and the importance thereof, of self-care, especially during times of stress and crises. And then the third thing, information relative to anybody who's trying to negotiate the milieu or world out there of healthcare providers. It's become apparent to me of late that basically, I would say the general population doesn't have a full knowledge of the concept of the differences in healthcare providers that are out there in the world, in the United States anyway, currently. And I think that's important. So I just did a little bit of talk about this at a meeting where it's the pre-medical society or pre-medical association of students at Chico State. And it just hit me that, my gosh, you know, the general public needs to hear this too, really. We should all be on the same page, and that helps you know what expectations to have of your healthcare provider also. Then I probably am going to have time at the end to talk about something that's a wonderful subject here in the United States, something that we have here in the United States, and that is called greed. But specifically, greed, G-R-E-E-D. But specifically, I'm going to talk about it relative to an area of healthcare in our country and actually in the world. But specifically, where it sits in our country. Because, of course, that affects availability of some stuff that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. I want you to be sitting on the edge of your chair and just can't wait to listen to what I'm going to say. Okay, now I'm going to go into our friend, the COVID virus. Okay, I know you're tired of hearing about COVID virus. I'm tired of talking about it. And of course, I'm just tired of it being here in the world. But I wish I could wish it away. We can't do that, can we? We can't. We, of course, have to be steadfast. Steadfast with a united approach in dealing with it as best we can. As human beings, work together with this, together. All right. First of all, the current problem of COVID virus is that it has changed. A mutation, the Delta variant, now being present. I know you've heard this more than you want to, but I want you to know some issues about it, please. A while back, we were doing pretty well initially with COVID, the initial COVID virus. We learned about masking, social distancing, avoiding crowds, and we did pretty well. And then vaccine came along, and then that helped us even immensely. And we were doing great. Our numbers were down, at least in our area and around other areas of the United States. And then, bam, a variant occurred. It started in another country. And it's called the Delta virus, of course. And it changed our lives again. Boom. Kind of back to square one in many ways. Here's why. It's a worse disease. The original virus compared to the Delta variant. Delta variant is much more severe in people when they obtain it, when they get infected with it. And it's many, and I'm going to say many three times here, so sit down. Many, many, many times more contagious. And how many times more contagious? Well, one study talked, I don't even know how they came up with this estimate, but 1,000 times more concentration of virus in air breathed out of an infected person with Delta compared to the old virus. For some reason, Delta virus, when it infects the cells of a person, our cells just really go to town, are told to really go to town and make the virus like mad. And of course, with that, that's one of the reasons that it's much more infectious. here's something else I want you to know. Of course, you know this. You cannot, relative to vaccinations, okay, the other thing that I'm going to talk to you about is vaccinations. And remember, the good thing about Delta is, thank goodness, that variant still responds, thank goodness, to our vaccines. We don't want other variants to not respond to our current vaccines. And one of the ways to help decrease the likelihood for other variants of forming is to decrease the virus count out in the milieu of the country and the world. So vaccination, trying to get the virus numbers down, down, down. The more virus numbers we have, the bigger the pot of soup is that's holding these viruses, COVID viruses, the more likely they're going to have this mutant, that mutant, this mutant, that mutant. And we're going to, hopefully not, but it's possible we could come up with a variant that won't respond, that will be bad, that won't respond to our current vaccines. And then we got to go back to the drawing board for a vaccine. I mean, many of the virus mutants that occur are not as nasty as Delta. That is true. But, hey, we're talking about things that are happening in the millions here. So something can come up that's worse. It's true. So vaccinate. You're going to hear that coming out of my mouth here in a few minutes even more. Another thing, while I'm on the subject of vaccinations and COVID, listen to this, because there's misinformation out there, and some people may not know this. I just heard this again the other day. God, blows me away. Listen to this. This is a fact. I'm telling you the truth here. You cannot get a COVID infection from a COVID vaccination. You cannot get a COVID infection from a COVID vaccination. In other words, COVID vaccinations do not contain live virus. Therefore, does not have the ability to give anybody a COVID infection. That is impossible. Also, COVID vaccine is not made from aborted fetuses or embryo cells. It isn't. It's not. You could try to believe that somehow, get that in your head, but I'm telling you, it's not. Also, relative to the decision for anyone to obtain a COVID vaccination or not to obtain a COVID vaccination, when a person gets vaccinated, fully vaccinated, they are accomplishing, when you're trying to decide, or somebody you know or love is trying to decide to get a shot, COVID or not, there's something that's very important for us all, for that person to understand about what they are doing. And that is two important things. The first thing, they are helping themselves as an individual to be better protected against the virus. Duh. So the vaccination, yes, for the person getting the vaccine, that helps them better protect themselves against getting the virus. Or if they do get the virus, getting a less severe case of the virus because they already are able to, bam, really early on produce immunity against the virus much more readily if they weren't, than compared to if they weren't vaccinated. But here's the second point. hopefully you know this already, but I'm going to tell you, so we all know it, and that's that also when you, as an individual, get your COVID shots, you're also helping to protect other people. You're helping to protect other people around you, in your house, in your work, on the street, in the store. If you get vaccinated and therefore hopefully won't get the virus, or if you do, you're going to have much less virus load coming out of your breath, you are helping protect other people. And I hope that matters to you. It matters to me. Because other people may be unlike you. You could be somebody who does well with the virus and you're healthy, etc., which isn't necessarily the case. You could be a healthy person and have major problems. I think you know that. I hope the whole public knows that. That's a fact. I could give you examples, especially one that's in a friend of mine. But anyway, also, besides the, know that when you're helping prevent COVID in other people's and people and yourself, remember, there's the initial infection, but there's also something called long COVID, which means symptoms that go on, like fatigue and lung problems, for instance, that go on and on and on. But also, that's in some people, but also there are secondary damage in some people to various areas of the body that aren't the lungs, such as the most three common places are lung. The other two are heart and brain. This friend of mine, heart is what kicked him. I'm not going to go into those details, but it changed his life. He's lucky he's alive. A 54-year-old, otherwise healthy man. But anyway, and then brain function, and globally, usually. In other words, their brain function is, in some people, can be affected by the inflammation of the brain that the virus sets up. By the way, the number of people in the U.S. having died from COVID is now greater than 666,000 deaths. That's a 2/3 of a million. So we're getting closer and closer and closer to a million deaths in the United States from COVID. So when you look at the causes of death, things, medical conditions that cause death in the United States, COVID has been the third leading cause of death, and still is the third leading cause of death in the United States. So you or anybody else or your friends or somebody who doesn't want to get vaccinated, they may think, so what? Some people die. It's the third leading cause of death from health reasons in the United States. And now with this ramping up, it's getting closer and closer to the number two, second most common and first most common. I don't know. We'll have to see. You know, that's a yearly determined thing, so I don't know yet if it's going to overtake the number two slot or not, or the number one ever. But my point there is enough people are dying from the COVID. I don't know, it means something to me. It's the third leading cause of death from medical cause of death in the United States. Wow. And by the way, in the early days of the COVID death records, there were probably, especially in the early days, there were probably many deaths that were not recorded as COVID in the beginning of this phenomenon. So the number may be, I'm sure it is higher than 666,000 deaths. And by the way, as you probably know, with Delta virus, it seems that one of the problems now is that children, certainly younger adults, like in their 20s and upper teens, are becoming infected, and some of them severely, of course. But also, in the United States, there have been approximately 400 deaths so far of children from COVID. It happens. So now let me give you some local statistics, Chico statistics. I want us to be on the same page relative to the importance of prevention, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to hear this local information. So Inlow Hospital, for anybody who's listening outside the area, Inlow is the name of our community hospital here in Chico. And as of yesterday, the 15th of September, there were 71 patients in the hospital with COVID. That's about a third, approximately, slightly under, a third of the hospitalized patients in this big 300-bed hospital are currently due to COVID. Nine of those 74 people are severe. More of them are severe than nine, but the nine most severe are on ventilators. So they're intubated, a tube, you know, into the lung, trying to keep them alive. In Chico, California, I don't have a death number. I haven't found a way of keeping track of that for Chico or even Butte County. I should look into that, I suppose. All right, Sue, what's important? When I talk to students about this kind of thing relative to the COVID virus, the important thing, what's the important thing for us to do, all of us community members, us healthcare people, what's the important thing? Well, when you have a disease thing like this, you think, well, what do you want to do? What should we do? What should we do? Well, you'd like to be able to treat the disease. In other words, treat the person who gets COVID to help the infection get better, go away. But guess what? We don't have great cures for most viruses, COVID included. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But so what becomes important? The other factor to help ourselves and help our community, and that is prevention. Prevention. That's the key with viruses and of we humans getting on top of viruses in the world and in this country. That's the way it's been always. And I'll mention some other viruses that we've had to do that with in just a minute. We've been able to get on top of because of vaccination programs that were accepted, and it worked. Anyway, true, there are some steps we can do to help people who are infected with COVID, but in no way do we have any major help for anybody relative to helping someone who has COVID infection. Virus infections are not like bacteria infections in that, with bacteria infections, we generally, at least, have antibiotics that hopefully can be helpful. Most of the time, they are, usually, depending on the variety of the bacteria and the person's other illnesses, et cetera. Plus, the other bad thing about viruses compared to bacteria, and this is distinctly, greatly different between bacterial infections and virus infections. When it comes to virus infections, person-to-person transmittability or contagiousness of viruses, especially something like Delta variant of COVID, is so enormously greater than for most bacterial diseases that we deal with on a regular basis. I can't think of any bacteria that have the currently in the world, in us, in the United States, that has anything close to the transmissibility, the contagiousness of viruses in general, but also specifically this darn Delta virus, COVID Delta. Very contagious. Therefore, it is imperative that we focus on prevention. As we have with other viruses over the years, such as over the years with poliovirus, thank goodness we did well with that, with vaccinations, programs that were big. Smallpox, big vaccination thing as I was growing up. Measles virus, we've done great with that. Little pockets of unvaccinatedness has flare-ups in the United States and Great Britain and other places. When there's little pockets of kids who are not getting vaccinated, bink, then there, bam, there's a little measles outbreak somewhere, and that's bad. There are periodic deaths in kids due to that one, of course. So measles vaccination, another thing. Fully vaccinated population, we do great with it. Mumps virus, same thing. We do good with it when we fully vaccinate our population. Rubella, same gig. Even HIV virus is having, prevention becomes key to, I wish we had a vaccine, but prevention becomes key relative to decreasing the number of HIV viruses, obviously, out there. Okay, so prevention has two components here, two components to prevention. What are those two components, you're probably asking, especially for the COVID virus? What are they? Well, first of all, it's preventing contact with the disease, with the virus, I mean, preventing contact with the virus. And the second one, second important thing with prevention is vaccinations. So preventing contact relative to a means of preventing the spread of COVID virus, of course, means wearing a mask when out there where you're with other people, especially when it's indoors. Social distancing as best you can, and avoiding crowds. I say it's a mistake that we're having crowds pop up again, like music festivals, etc. Mistake. I wish we didn't. It's Delta virus. It's different now. Anyway, this isn't complicated. We've done it. We did it during the early days of this COVID thing. We know how to do this, and we did a fairly good job on it. We're lax on it right now with this Delta thing, and I think we're paying the price with numbers of besides the vaccination lagging in, we're just not quite up to the number of percentage of people we want. No. These are common sense things. Mask, social distance, avoid crowds. We've gotten lackadaisical. Yeah, okay. We got to go back. Yeah. I'm looking at my notes when I'm mumbling like that. And we need to now, of course, as you know, push for getting the maximum number of people vaccinated. Not only will it help us, it'll help decrease the availability or the formation of other mutant COVID viruses that may be harder to handle even. And, of course, when you get vaccinated, of course, not only it helps you, but it helps the public around you by decreasing the number of viruses out there in the world. Here's another problem in the world. In order for us to get on top of this virus in the world, guess what? If we don't, it's just going to fester in other places of the world. And remember, I already said, this mutation thing just keeps happening. So, wow. By the way, Delta virus didn't happen in the United States. But it got to the United States once it occurred. So it's a worldwide thing that needs vaccine. So what's the problem here? Well, the United States is a problem, and Great Britain. And here's the deal. And that's patent ownership of vaccines. So patent ownerships of vaccines. You know, I told you at the beginning of the show that I was going to talk about greed. Well, and the United States greed in healthcare. Well, this is a little sneak preview of greed in the United States and Great Britain. Patent ownership of vaccines needs to stop. If the companies themselves won't do it, then we, the people, or in the governments of the world, starting with the United States, need to make it stop. In other words, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, to name three few, need to be, the patents need to be not present, and labs throughout all over the world need to be empowered to make those vaccines and distribute them. Now, they're going to not only need the rights to be able to make those, prepare those viruses in their labs, they're going to need some monetary help, too, by, I don't know, maybe countries that have a lot of money to throw around. I don't know. Like maybe the industrialized world that the United States is part of. There's no other way. There's no other way that we as a world are going to get on top of this virus. It's got to be a world process together. Of vaccination. Hey, here's a little quote. You got to hear this. Another quote. Maybe you've heard it before. The Pope reportedly said, quote, "Getting COVID vaccinated is an act of love." I'm not a religious guy, but I did love that the Pope saying that getting COVID vaccinated is an act of love. Okay, get this. Another thing. Speaking of the world, we'll take the continent of Africa. You know, when we're here in the United States talking about, you know, what the percentage of people in this age group or that age group have been vaccinated, fully vaccinated. Well, guess what the percentage is in the continent of Africa? 3%. That's disgusting that we, the industrialized countries that only care about ourselves, allow that to happen. Again, patent ownership needs to stop. Empowering other countries relative to making virus vaccine, COVID virus vaccine, needs to occur, period. You know that. I know that. Okay, booster information about COVID. First of all, an FDA committee apparently will be meeting tomorrow, Friday, relative to recommendations on booster issue for the public, general public. That is, will or won't be approving that. So that's a subcommittee, a committee tomorrow, FDA committee relative to booster. But currently, relative to CDC advice and with FDA approval, a booster shot for COVID is currently approved and advised for people only with specific immune system abnormalities or problems, such as a person who's on chemotherapy for cancer, and people who are on certain specific kinds of medications as treatment of some specific medical conditions, such as organ transplants, patients, some people who are on certain medications called immune system modulators for conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, severe psoriasis. Some of those people are on medications that in order to try to help their conditions, it buffers their immune systems to try to help those. Well, those are medications, of course, that decrease their immune I shouldn't say of course. Those are medications in organ transplant people and people with those other medical conditions when they're on those kind of medications. It decreases those people's immune response to the vaccine. And in reality, they are deficient when it comes to immune response. So those people are advised to get an additional vaccination now. And it's not fair to even call it a booster, because in those medical conditions, in reality, their vaccination plan should include already an additional shot now. Let's say they had it months ago. It's time for them to have it again. And it's not even a booster. It's just they need it as part of their bottom line backbone minimum immunity response. The rest of us in the general public, no, it's not time yet for us to get boosters. Bummer. Sorry. The vaccination, the ability of the vaccinations that we've currently had and the ability to either help us not get COVID or to help our COVID, if we did get it, to be less in severity is present. So the general advice by the CDC and probably WHO, I suspect, is no. Countries like us, we're general population, it's not time yet for a booster. Again, the whole world needs the vaccine. We need to be the United States needs to be on the front line in getting vaccine to other countries it's not a simple thing, but the action is having there be no patent on these vaccines so other countries can make them, and then empowering those countries, helping them to make the virus vaccine. Well, now, gosh, I would play a song halfway through, but I got so much to talk about. Are you okay if I just keep going? Okay, thanks. Oh, here's a cute little quote. Cute in parentheses. You know, as far as people who don't want to get the vaccine because they got misinformation off the internet. There's a doctor, Offit, O-F-F-I-T, is attending physician at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, the Division of Infectious Disease in Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And first, he's in his quote, he's first talking about remembering back as a society when we were dealing with polio and how well we did to get on top of it, and that was via vaccinations. However, it's not yet the same with COVID, right? In other words, we aren't adequately numbers of us vaccinated yet in a united way. But here's what Dr. Offit said about that. Now that I've given the background there, quote, polio virus had no friends. In other words, we vaccinated the heck out of it. This virus, the COVID virus, has friends, he says. And I mean vaccine denialists, people who ban mask mandates, and people who ban vaccine mandates. These are friends of the COVID virus. Oh, God. Those people are, it's kind of like they're doing their best to empower the COVID virus out there. It's unbelievable to me. I have to talk, because of the time of year, I have to talk about influenza vaccine in a comparison to COVID. For at least a couple reasons, influenza hits us mostly in a seasonal fashion, like winter and early spring months. So we're coming into that soon, right? Of course, it's a respiratory virus infection, anywhere from making a person hardly have any symptoms at all to maybe having symptoms of a mild cough and achy maybe, to even more severe with significant fever, body aches, weakness, cough, and additional breathing problems. And to the most severe, there's a certain percentage of people who die, of course, every year in the United States and the world from influenza infection. It, too, is, of course, a virus. It, too, is best handled by prevention, which involves advice to get vaccinated each fall of the year. I'll talk about that more in a minute. But also doing your best to avoid close contact with anyone who seems to be ill, a coughing illness mainly. This is the same exact prevention and precautionary advice that we have and advise, of course, for COVID virus. So the fall, when to get the vaccine for flu, influenza. I say that October is my favorite month for that for a couple reasons, mainly because it seems to better fit allow for the time frame for best antibody presence in your bloodstream, including into the early spring months, because it can go there into that as well. So I say October. But if you're going to get it September, okay. And if you forget to do it in October, well, get it whenever you remember, like November, December, January, or even early spring. But do get a flu vaccine. And just like with COVID vaccinations, the flu vaccination does not contain a virus. That is, it is not a live virus. That is, you cannot get influenza infection from a flu vaccination. It's impossible. However, you can, however, get slightly sickish feeling transiently, just like with COVID vaccinations. Maybe a transient low-grade fever, maybe a bit body achy, feeling sluggish a bit for a day or two. Transient, and then it's over. And you'd say, why is that, that you get those symptoms with the COVID shots and the flu vaccination? I'll say, well, the job of any vaccination is to rev up your immune system to help fight that particular virus or bacteria, depending on the vaccine. And by revving up your immune system, that can make you feel a bit funky for a short while. That's a simple fact. Those immune system revving up symptoms can be present for a day or two, maybe three, and then they're gone. This is way better than the potential symptoms and problems of getting either of those, any of those illnesses, such as influenza or COVID. And it's way better that you get, it's way better than rather than you getting influenza or COVID and doing okay with it, but yet passing it to somebody else who doesn't be okay with it because of whatever reason. So just like with COVID vaccinations, when you get a flu vaccination, you're helping protect yourself, but you're also helping protect other people. Influenza virus also goes through mutations like COVID virus has done, and therefore each year the influenza vaccination is going to be possibly a bit different compared to the vaccination given last year. And for that reason, and because over the year, probably our immune response, the amount of antibodies that we have from last year's flu shot, for instance, has waned now to where we're now... most likely now we're at risk for now getting influenza this year, even though we were vaccinated last year. This is an annual vaccination for flu. And you're saying, your brain might be clicking and saying, hey, does that mean like COVID's going to have to be that way in the future? And you want the real answer to that as a doctor kind of person? Likely. That's likely. Because this virus, COVID, ain't going away soon. So, yeah, there will be, we call it a booster now, but there will be, it's going to happen. We'll have to do that to stay on top of it. That's true. Well, we still have to do it, of course, for influenza. And by the way, the thing currently, and maybe this will be the way with COVID vaccine in the future too, but currently with flu vaccination, the actual flu vaccination from last year, that we got last year was for three different, or some of them were four different, influenza variants. We call them strains. So, and how do we know that? How do we know what strains are going to be around? Well, it's educated guesswork by following what, you get the vaccination for flu at the beginning of the season before flu has got here. And then so scientists look back and after the flu season say, okay, what were the virus variants this year? And then even after that, they look at the world where other seasonal at different times of the year are getting flu in different parts of the world. And they look and see which variants or strains of influenza virus was present there. That's what goes in, apparently, to the companies that make the vaccine for flu, into knowing which antibodies are going to be to stimulate which to antibodies for which variants of influenza. So this year's flu vaccine, I don't even know yet how many flu strains are going to be helped with your protection on with this year's flu vaccine. But remember, there are no viruses present in flu vaccine or COVID vaccine. Nope. You cannot get a flu infection from a flu shot. You cannot get a COVID infection from a COVID shot. Relative to younger children and COVID vaccinations, I just read a news article from the American Medical Association from the 7th of this month that talked about an issue of when will we have COVID vaccine ready and approved for children under the age of 12. The opinion was that a COVID vaccine for younger children probably won't be ready until winter at the earliest, and here's why. The clinical trials for children less than 12 are more involved compared to older children and adults. And that's because, partly, of the changing physiology or how their physiology is different in younger children in different stages of their life. Therefore, the dosing may have to be different, and dosing intervals, between... a second shot or maybe a third shot, I don't know, will be different in children likely compared to older children and adults. And those studies, because of all those variants, because of all that variability with children compared to younger children compared to adults, those studies, therefore, take more time. Okay. Current vaccinations in the United States are Pfizer, 2-shot series, 3 weeks apart. It's a messenger RNA vaccine, which in no way, because it's a messenger RNA vaccine, but you need to hear this because it's misinformation on the internet. It in no way enters your own body's DNA. That's absurd. It doesn't happen. So, but anyway, Pfizer, fine. It's FDA actually approved it, fully approved it for 16 years of age and older recently. Full approval. It still remains, I believe, to have emergency approval for kids down to the age of 12. I'm pretty sure that still exists, even though it's full approved for 16 and older. Moderna shot also, if you're going to go that route, it's a two-shot series, 4 weeks apart. It's also a messenger RNA vaccine. It remains under an FDA emergency approval for ages 18 and older. Johnson & Johnson, one shot. It's an attenuated or killed adenovirus-linked vaccine. Remains FDA emergency approval for 18 years of age and older. It's a one-shot thing. It doesn't quite have the protectiveness that the Pfizer and Moderna does, but it's fairly close. So where and how to get COVID vaccinations in our area? Most of these sites will schedule you for vaccinations, but most of them also do walk-ins, I believe. If you're wondering about any of these that I tell you about, whether they do walk-ins or whether it's scheduling, call them. In Chico, where can you get COVID vaccination in Chico? Here they are. And there may be more, but here's for the ones I know about. Costco Pharmacy. Walgreens Pharmacy. Again, this is in Chico. Rite Aid Pharmacy on Mangrove. Northern Valley Indian Health Clinic on East Avenue. You don't have to be a Native American. You don't have to be a member of the clinic. In other words, you don't have to be getting health care there. Anybody in the public can get your COVID vaccination there. I think they do walk-in. I'm pretty sure they do scheduling. But here's their phone number. Costco, Walgreens, Rite Aid, you can get their number easily. But and you could probably get Northern Valley Indian Health on East Avenue, their phone number. But here it is. You got a pencil? 530-781-1447. That's 781-1447. Then in Orrville, you can get a COVID vaccination at two pharmacies, Walgreens of Orrville and Walmart of Orrville. In Gridley, two pharmacies and then a hospital vaccination clinic there. The two pharmacies are CVS in Gridley and Walgreens in Gridley. The hospital in Gridley is called Orchard Hospital, and there is an Orchard Hospital vaccination clinic. I believe they do walk-in and schedule. Here's the phone number, 530-797-3595. That's 797-3595 for Orchard Hospital vaccination clinic in Gridley. There's also some mobile clinics that are going around that are scheduled through this number. Area code 833-422-4255. Again, for mobile clinic times and places and scheduling, although they do walk-ins too, is phone number, area code 833-422-4255. Listen for options, and when you hear vaccination information, quote unquote, press 2. It's easy to do. Press number 2. Stay on the line then, and you'll actually be talking with a human being. COVID testing. The thing I just gave you was COVID vaccinations. Place for COVID testing. Very important if you have symptoms or you've been exposed. I've got 6 places in Chico here I'm going to tell you about. First, Optum Serve, O-P-T-U-M, Serve. That's the company that's contracted with Public Health, Butte County Public Health to do this for Butte County Public Health. It's at 900 Mangrove Avenue, Chico. Walk-in or schedule. Phone number, area code 888. I think that's a toll-free thingy. 634-1123. That's 888-634-1123. Or you can schedule or find out more about it on the internet at and this is all lowercase, LHI.CARE / COVID testing, which of course is COVIDTESTING. Again, LHI.CARE/COVID testing. The second place is Whitney Hall, a big building, of course, on Chico State campus. Whitney Hall, Chico State campus. Third thing, this is COVID testing, Chico. Ampla Health Chico, which is at 680, so 680, Cohasset Road in Chico. Appointment only. This is COVID testing. Appointment only. All ages can be tested. All ages can be tested. Appointment only. Ampla Health Chico. Phone number 530-342-4395. Ampla Health Chico. Appointment only for COVID testing. All ages 530-342-4395. Fourth place, Chico Immediate Care at 376 Vallambrosa Avenue. Appointment only, 5 years of age or older. So appointment only, 5 years of age or older at Chico Immediate Care. Unfortunately, I don't have their phone number. Sorry. You can look it up. The fifth one, CVS Pharmacy at Forest Avenue. Only the CVS at Forest Avenue, as far as I know. Appointment only. 18 years of age or older. 18 years of age or older for COVID testing at CVS Pharmacy, Forest Avenue. Phone number 530-894-5112. That's 894-5112. The last one that I know of, there may be more, but the last one I know of is Walgreens Pharmacy on East Avenue in Chico. Walgreens East Avenue in Chico. Appointment only. This is for COVID testing. Appointment only, 3 years of age or older. COVID testing, appointment only, 3 years of age or older. Walgreens, East Avenue, Chico. Phone number 530-899-0887. That's 899-0887. Well, I sure talked a lot about COVID. Now, didn't I? I must think it's an important thing. Huh. Go figure. Well, I'm going to talk real quick about, I mean real quick, about self-care. I'm going to first start with a quote from Kamala Harris, our current vice president. No, this was before she became vice president. And it said, she said, "The constant chaos leads us adrift." And it's also true in our chaotic and stressful world. And by leading us adrift, what I take it as for us in this case is we forget to take care of ourselves. And so that's what I'm talking about here is, sit down, think about what you're missing out on relative to your care of yourself. And what I mean by that, and I'm not even going to list all the crises that are happening nowadays. They're just innumerable, of course. So, stresses naturally bring certain feelings to us. It's natural. It's normal. Anxiousness, irritability, depression, anger, impatience, discontent. Those are normal responses to stress. So if you got those feelings, understand that. Understand that those are normal responses and realize that acknowledging the fact that you're having them and that those are normal responses or normal in other people around you, but acknowledging the fact that they're normal and that then understanding that, accepting that, and then helping them deal with those unfortunate feelings relative to the stresses. Remember that the things, and then trying to do your best with compassion and love. Think about that. The power that oozes from you to others around you when you show compassion and love. Very powerful stuff. Compassion and love. I'm telling you. You know that. I'm just reminding you of that. Well, by golly, we're getting so dang close to me doing something else. I'm going to just say real quick, healthcare providers, what are they? Well, MDs and DOs. Medical doctors as MD, DOs are doctors of osteopathy. They do the same job. They're almost synonymous. NDs are doctors of naturopathic medicine. Naturopathic doctors, they're a little different, but they're doctors. They're not physicians, but they're doctors. Nurse practitioners are healthcare providers. Physician assistants are healthcare providers. And I'm going to have to talk to you more about those at some other time, which I would like to do, because I want to enumerate what those categories mean as far as the training and what you what expectations you should have from each of those categories. Meantime, the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullen's has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico and can be reached at 342-1055. And also underwriting this show is Grub CSA Farm, offering sustainably, that's easy for me to say, sustainably grown local produce from their farm here in Chico, on the edge of Chico. Grub's weekly CSA vegetable box season has begun. To sign up for your weekly box of produce, visit Grub's. Oh, no, it's Grub CSA Farm. So Grub, G-R-U-B-C-S-A Farm. GrubCSAFarm.com. GrubCSAFarm.com. Or 680-4543. And on Facebook. Grub Produce is also available at all Chico farmers markets. You probably want to know, too, that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or even its underwriters. You know, they're just my little opinions. Hey, I hope you listen again 1 month from today, the third Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 for the Doctor's Inn. This is Dr. Ken Logan. I think I'm going to, the next show is going to be Planetary Radio. Stay tuned for that. And Megan Hammer, thank you very much, Megan Hammer, for being the engineer of this show. You've helped me a lot, and you continue helping me a lot. Megan Hammer. And listen, let's all listen to Steely Dan and Dr. Wu.
Just a shadow of the man that I I've been waiting for the taste you said you'd bring to me. Biscayne Bay, where the Cuban gentlemen sleep all day. I went searching for the song you used to sing.
An escapade on, or rather above, Mars, this week on Planetary Radio. Welcome. I'm Matt Kaplan of the Planetary Society, with more of the human adventure across our solar system and beyond. Yes, we've got yet another visit to the